stomach tightened with dread. Of course, she forced herself to smile. I think all of us who came to the convent are here because we didn't have a better choice, Pippa began. It's possible some of us are trying to escape something from our pasts. She wavered for an instant. But I believe you're a wonderful person, with a good heart and a warm soul. Whatever you may have done in your past life, I know that God can forgive you. A knot formed in the base of Celine's throat. Pippa, I... Wait, there's more. Pippa took in a deep, steadying breath. If God forgives you, so can I. Determination etched across her brow. So should we all. She swallowed, her lips gathering sheepishly. I made a hash of that, didn't I? It sounded much better in my head. Ever so much more poignant and meaningful. Celine's mouth had gone dry. You didn't make a hash of it. You don't have to say anything. I just thought you should know. With a tender smile, Pippa placed the last of the honeycomb on the edge of Celine's tea saucer. For a time, Celine's eyes burned with unshed tears. She blinked them back and averted her gaze, fighting to collect herself. Thank you, she said in a thick voice. Then she brought the piece of sun-drenched honeycomb to her lips. Pippa couldn't know what she'd done for Celine. What Pippa's halting statement had meant to her. It suddenly struck Celine how the simplest words often carried the most weight. Yes and no. Love and hate. Give and take. For the first time since she had killed a man and fled France, she felt understood. Seen. Safe. Oof! Pippa gasped as she tripped over an uneven stone in the darkened corridors of the Ursuline convent. The basket of basted fabric in her hands almost spilled across the floor, but she managed to hold fast to it. Are you all right? Celine asked in a loud whisper, a few steps behind her. Pippa's laughter was soft, rueful. My hands are slippery from the water and the soap. Perhaps we should have gone to wash for the night after returning your things to your cell. She righted herself, her motions awkward as a result of her burden. Or perhaps we should have saved the last taper for something besides mocking Catherine. I didn't mock her. Well, you watched me mock her. And you laughed, which is just as awful. It is not. Pippa smothered a snicker. Celine smiled to herself, her soul awash in warmth. At this point, she had truly lost count of how many times she had offered silent thanks for Pippa. Perhaps if she had had a sister, as she had so often wished when she was younger, she could understand better what it felt like to have an ally by her side through thick and thin, someone with whom to brave the darkest of nights. A flash of movement caught Celine's eye at the end of the arched corridor. Like a shadow stretching in a beam of sunlight. She stopped short, her last footstep echoing in her ears. The memory of that shapeless creature gnashing its teeth and scuttling up the side of the building flickered through Celine's mind, causing her breath to lodge in her throat. Pippa's skirt swished across the stone floor a few steps ahead, the sound reminiscent of the creature taking flight in a tangle of wind-swept branches. Celine's skin bristled as if she'd wandered into a spider web. The hairs on the back of her neck stood straight. She stared at the opposite end of the hallway, half of her willing the shadows to shift once again, the other half praying they did not. A moment later, she decided her tired mind had played tricks on her. With a firm set to her shoulders, she adjusted her grip on her wicker basket and proceeded to follow Pippa. Outside the door to her cell, Celine rested the basket of sewing bric-a-brac on one hip, then braced herself to push open the heavy wooden door. Just before she took hold of the handle, she turned toward Pippa. Do you have a free moment tomorrow for me to measure a length of fabric on you?
Of course not, Pippa grinned. I abhor the idea of being draped in shimmering silk. It's as if you don't know me at all.
Celine snorted. So then I'll see you at noon? She turned the handle of her cell. The door blew back all at once, drawn by an unexpected draft. Pippa yelped as Celine's basket of sewing instruments crashed to the stone floor. Without pausing for breath, Celine yanked a set of shears from the pile beside her feet, brandishing the sharp point as if it were a blade. The smell hit her first. A mixture of old pennies and the stench of a butcher's shop. Of a place in which animals were slaughtered. Pippa, Celine said, her voice even, despite the fear roiling beneath her skin. Go find the Mother Superior.
I'm not leaving you. What if...
Pippa's words were swallowed in a gasp. A large shadow flitted from the floor of the cell to the ceiling, moving too quickly to distinguish.
Who's there? Celine demanded, her heart thundering in her chest. Behind her, Pippa struggled to light a long match, the box falling beside her feet in a scatter of twigs. Go! Celine demanded, but Pippa persisted, refusing to leave her side.
The creature hovering on the ceiling chittered, its teeth grating together, causing Celine's shoulders to pull back and a shudder to course down her spine. On the floor beneath her open window, another creature moaned, the sound of feeble whistle, as though it were caught in the throes of death. It took an instant for Celine to understand. The demon in the shadows had attacked something in her cell. She moved to help the wounded soul beneath the window, but her toes slid in something wet, her right foot skidding out from under her. Gripping the wall to steady herself, Celine looked up as a dry cackle emanated from above. Terror racing through her veins, Celine fought to stand straight, her knees threatening to buckle out from under her. Pippa screamed and backed away. Be gone from here, Celine demanded into the blackness looming above her, her fingers trembling around her shears. The thing blurred from the ceiling to the floor like a tempest across a field of wheat. Then it stood, slowly, its long figure unfolding in a beam of waning moonlight. Before Celine could blink, it rushed toward her, taking her by the wrist, slamming her back against the rough plaster wall. It drew close, smelling of blood and rain, the damp of the earth. It breathed deeply off Celine's neck, its teeth grazing the lobe of her left ear, leaving a trail of sticky wetness.
Each time you evade me, I only want you more, it gasped, its voice like metal against stone. You cannot escape. You are mine.
Then it dragged its bloody fingers across her face as if it were marking her. A horrified scream caught in Celine's throat. She kept rigid, her eyes unblinking, struggling to detect anything of note. Anything that might help identify the creature in the light of day. But the room was too dark, the demon far too close. Pippa's footsteps pounded down the corridor, her screams jumbled and nonsensical.
Death leads to another garden. Welcome to the Battle of Carthage,
the thing whispered in Celine's ear, its words a crazed rasp, its accent refined.
To thine own self be true.
Celine stabbed it in its chest with her sewing shears. Roaring, the demon shoved her to one side with inhuman strength, an ear-splitting cry rending through the darkness. Celine's head struck the floor in a dull thud, her vision distorting from the blow.
She fought to focus on the figure looming above her. All she could distinguish was the silhouette of what appeared to be a man, tall and well-muscled, his chest heaving. The sleeves and hem of his coat tattered.
I'm not afraid of you, Celine said in a hoarse tone.
The demon's laughter was a wet gurgle.
You will be.
Commotion rang through the hallways beyond Celine's cell. Doors banged open, and the cries of young women layered through the thick darkness, their footsteps pattering across the stone floors, their candles wavering over the walls. Then the demon leapt out of Celine's window with preternatural grace. Her skull buzzing and her vision hazy, Celine reached for the fallen box of matches, labored to sit up and light one, her toes slipping through the pool of sticky warmth collecting by her feet. Her fingers shook as the match burst into flame, the peppery scent of gunpowder suffusing the air. Celine's heart hammered in her temples, her limbs bereft of warmth. The moment the match's flame stretched tall to spread its light, Pippa burst through the entrance of the cell, brandishing a fireplace poker like a fencing épée. Her resounding scream turned into many, mounting like ripples across a pond. Horrified, sleep-laden faces craned for a glimpse beyond the doorway, regretting their curiosity in the next instant. For nothing could have prepared them for the sight that met their eyes. Strewn across the sill of Celine's open window was a man's mangled body. One of his legs was crooked at an unnatural angle, an arm bent behind him, nearly torn from its socket. His wispy beard trailed onto the stone floor. Red bubbles frothed around his mouth as the blood from a gash in his neck trickled downward, seeping between the cracks in eerie tributaries. Above his body, painted onto the wooden shutter, was another symbol, sketched in crimson. O. The lonely freedom of a misty street. Numbness enveloped Celine, settling on her shoulders, winding about her limbs. She welcomed it, wished it would swallow her whole. A demon had touched her, marked her, taken another life. William, the kind gardener who resembled a wizard, had been murdered tonight in Celine's cell, on the cusp of the witching hour. He'd perished much like Annabelle, his throat torn out in gruesome fashion, the blood spilling from his body as fast as his heart could pump it. This time the killer had been far less fastidious. Instead of draining William entirely of blood, he had allowed it to spatter everywhere, as if there had been a struggle. Or perhaps the demon had chosen to toy with its prey. Neither thought was reassuring. Celine sat on the steps beyond the vestibule of the Ursuline Convent. A light rain dusted the air, sprinkling her skin. Though she could not feel it, courtesy of the blessed numbness. Around her, muted speech and rapid footfalls punctuated the night, every so often laced with intermittent wails. Thankfully, following the initial onslaught of questions, no one thought to trouble Celine or draw anywhere near. It was as if they had come to the same realization she had, that she was a curse, a blight upon all their lives. It could not have been a coincidence that Annabelle had been killed after following Celine into a den of iniquity. Nor could it be mere chance that William had met his gruesome end in her cell. With the exception of the seemingly unrelated murder along the docks, the killer looked to be targeting anyone tied to Celine Rousseau, for reasons beyond all their ken. There appeared to be no logic to any of it, save for the victim's associations with her and with the Ursuline Convent. Was it possible the young woman along the docks was also connected in some way? At this point, no detail, however far-fetched, could be ignored. Each time you evade me, I only want you more. You cannot escape. You are mine. Celine winced as she stared at the granite pavers beside her feet, watching the rain glisten across their gritty surfaces.
She stiffened when Pippa crouched next to her, then glanced at her friend sidelong, meeting blue eyes wide with worry. Without a word, Pippa handed her a clean linen handkerchief, then waited attentively while Celine wiped the blood from her face, the dried bits flaking onto her damp dress, causing her stomach to churn and acid to bubble in her throat. "Is there anything I can do?" Pippa asked, her voice gentle. "You can leave me alone."
Rage coursed through Celine at how little regard Pippa seemed to hold for her own self-preservation. By now, she should know better than to seek out the company of a blight like her.
By now, they should all have run for the hills. "May I get you some tea?" Pippa asked. Celine drew back and said nothing.
She worried if she opened her mouth, a torrent of foul words, the worst of her fears given voice, would flow from her mouth.
Things no one deserved to hear, least of all Pippa. Though Celine had not responded to Pippa's query, or even acknowledged her presence in any meaningful fashion, Pippa kept close, hovering in a way that aggravated Celine further. "Why doesn't she know to save herself? Does she have a death wish?"
Celine's thoughts turned vicious, senseless in their rage. A wall of black wool stepped before her, obscuring her vision. As always, Celine smelled the Mother Superior before she took in the elder woman's face. That same scent of a wet hound in a haystack. Pippa stood at once, Celine remaining on the stairs, all sense of decorum scattered to the winds. The wall of wool remained stalwart in its approach, watching and waiting. A dark streak of amusement sliced through Celine. She longed for a return to the day she'd believed the matron of the Ursuline Convent to be her worst enemy, when the most memorable of Celine's afternoons had been spent trying to imagine creative ways to thwart her. For an instant, Celine pondered whether there was a single point at which she could have foiled her fate. At what precise moment had she wandered down the wrong path? Alas, there was nothing she could do about that now. But perhaps there was a way to stop this fearful turn of events from happening again in the future. The Mother Superior cleared her throat, wordlessly demanding Celine's attention, the wooden beads of her rosary dangling from her waist. Celine studied the small cross swaying before her, observed the rain as it slid downward.
"Mademoiselle Rousseau,"
the Mother Superior began, in a grim tone.
"I wanted to."
"Why did you send Annabelle to spy on us?" Celine asked, her voice hollow, her eyes leveled on the wall of black wool positioned before her. A sharp intake of breath resounded from above. Celine looked up. The Mother Superior's features were tight, weary. Her habit had been tilted askew, rain trickling from its hem. "You could have refused to let us go," Celine continued.
"You didn't need to use Annabelle as a pawn in your scheme. You sent her to her death."
Her accusation was low, pitiless.
"Celine,"
Pippa chastised softly. In the deepest recesses of Celine's mind, she knew how unfair it was to accuse the Mother Superior of being responsible for Annabelle's death. But her heart demanded answers. The wound around it continued to grow with each passing moment, the pain searing through her chest, burning into her lungs. She had to put a stop to it. To all of it.
"Why?"
Celine repeated.
"Die."
The Mother Superior hesitated, her expression oddly uncertain. Then her frown turned severe, the lines around her mouth deepening. Celine braced herself for a harsh rebuke.
"I am human," the Mother Superior said simply. "As such, I made a mistake."
Celine shook her head. "That's not an answer." "Please." She stood at once, drops of rain cascading from the tip of her nose. "Help me understand. I need to understand why."
The Mother Superior considered Celine, her eyes flitting to and fro.
Because I saw in you the kind of reckless spirit that craves danger, and I desired proof. A weed that left to flourish is the death of the entire garden.
The ache in Celine's chest intensified.
So you sent a young girl out by herself, simply to prove I was rotten to the core? Why didn't you just ask me? Je veux leur dire, Mère Supérieure!
Her hands balled into fists at her sides. The Mother Superior took hold of Celine's left wrist, gripping it tightly, pulling her closer. For a breath of time, Celine thought the matron might strike her. But then the elder woman's gray brows gathered, her features pinching with sorrow.
You are in pain right now, Mademoiselle Rousseau, she said gently. I too am in pain. I too long to point a finger of blame. But it serves no purpose now. I entreat you to sit with your pain. To let it pass, not to lash out. It will do you no good.
She released her grip on Celine's wrist.
Trust in this important lesson I learned long ago. Rage is a moment. Regret is forever.
Celine struggled to marshal her fury. She wasn't ready to relinquish her rage and succumb to the sadness that was sure to follow. If she did, it meant she accepted everything that had happened tonight. She didn't want to accept it. She wanted to fight it, to shatter its truth into oblivion. But the Mother Superior was right. What good did it do to rail against an elderly woman? Annabelle and William had not died because of the Mother Superior. They died because of her. Celine blinked back the rain, forced the tension in her shoulders to abate. Yes, Mère Supérieure, she swallowed, realized she was shivering and that her temple throbbed. I apologize for my behavior. It won't happen again. The Mother Superior nodded.
Are you in need of anything right now? Is there anything I might provide for you?
Celine shook her head. A sigh fell from the Mother Superior's lips.
Should you change your mind at any time, now or in the future, do not hesitate to tell me. I am here to assist you in any way.
She paused to hold Celine's gaze, her features somber.
The next few days will not be easy ones, my child.
Celine nodded, already knowing what the Mother Superior intended to say next.
Many of my fellow sisters have come to me in the last hour,
the Mother Superior continued in a hushed tone.
The consensus is that it might be time for us to find you alternate lodging.
Celine kept nodding. The Mother Superior reached out once more. This time she took hold of Celine's hand, her touch gentle and warm despite the coolness of the rain.
I've already begun making inquiries. We will not throw you out on the street, and it is not necessary for you to leave tonight. It is simply no longer safe for you to stay here.
She paused.
Please, no. This is not at all what we want to do. But I agree it is the best course of action, for the sake of all who remain within these walls.
A weed left to flourish is the death of the entire garden,
Celine said, a tinge of sadness in her voice. With another sigh, the Mother Superior nodded, squeezed Celine's hand, and let go. Straightening her spine, Celine met the matron's wrinkled gaze.
Thank you for giving me a chance to begin my life in a new world, Mère Supérieure. I don't know what would have happened to me without it.
Of course, my dear. May God go with you. May you live a life of bounty and purpose.
Then, after the slightest hesitation,
The Mother Superior turned toward the convent, her cross swaying with her steps, the scent of lanolin and medicinal ointment trailing in her wake. Celine stood in the rain for a time, Pippa waiting nearby, quietly wiping tears from her cheeks with the back of one hand. It was an exercise in futility, for the rain soon began to fall in earnest, its fat droplets plinking onto the iron railing and splashing onto their skin. Pippa removed the shawl from her own shoulders, draping it over Celine's.
You're shaking.
Am I? The throbbing in Celine's head was worsening. She touched her temple and found a tender spot from where she'd struck the floor in her struggle with the killer.
Tomorrow I'll make inquiries with some of the other women in my lady's organization, Pippa continued. Perhaps Phaedus's mother will know of a place you can go.
Thank you, Celine mumbled. But the boat at Tartarus is full. She spoke the last under her breath. I am a Titan, after all, she sneered to herself.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you, dear.
Infinite patience rounded out Pippa's response. I said, thank you, but I will make the inquiries myself. Celine refrained from gritting her teeth, aware of how wrong it was to turn her frustrations on her closest friend. Pippa's brows tufted together, betraying her own mounting irritation.
You don't have to do everything yourself, Celine. It's not your fault that a madman has unleashed himself on those near you. Nor is it your fault you've been asked to quit the convent.
Even if the Mother Superior had not asked me to go, I would have left of my own will. It is unsafe for me to stay. It would be better if I never showed my face here again.
I see.
Pippa blinked through the rain, her eyes shimmering suspiciously. Then she wiped her chin on her sleeve, renewed her convictions with a bright smile.
Well, perhaps we can let a room together. Wouldn't that be lovely? I've always liked Marigny.
Her words iced the blood in Celine's body, made her want to flee as fast as she could. She could not have Pippa anywhere near her. Of all people, Pippa should be as far from Celine as possible. Being near Celine Rousseau had become a kiss of death. And she did not know what she would do if something happened to Pippa because of her. To their right, the doors to the convent scraped open with yawning slowness. Two sullen officers shifted into view, bearing between them a bundle wrapped in linen sheets. Already the center of the sheets was stained red, the rain causing the blot to spread, its edges lightening to a pale pink. Celine watched in silence as they moved toward an open wagon waiting along the lane to bear the body to the station. William's arms hung lifeless on either side of him, one of his hands still twisted in an unnatural position. They flopped like dead fish as the two officers lifted his battered body into the back of the wagon. Tears began to well in Celine's eyes. Just a few days ago, William had offered Arjun a cutting from the convent's garden to help remind Arjun of home. He'd shown him a kindness, expecting nothing in return. Now he was dead. The last remembrance in his life, the face of his killer. The tears spilled over, flowing down Celine's cheeks in steady streams. Not once had she cried in earnest since that night in the atelier. Her mind had forbidden her the reprieve. She hadn't cried when she'd realized her life in France was over. The first night aboard the Aramis, she'd listened to the soft sniffles of countless other young women. Still, she'd failed to shed a single tear. She hadn't cried even when Annabelle had been slain. Why did the sight of William's broken body move her to tears? Perhaps the dam inside her had finally burst. Or perhaps this was one crack too many in her facade. To thine own self be true. The killer had quoted Shakespeare, as if he could see into Celine's soul.
Guilt seeped into her bones, burning like acid as it traveled down the length of her body. Bile choked in her throat. Celine was the reason this kind man and a lovely young woman had died. She would not be the reason anyone else died. Ever again. Without thought or consideration, her tears trailing down her cheeks, joining hands with the rain, Celine began to walk.
Celine?
Pippa called out from behind her. Celine ignored her and quickened her pace, turned into the lemon grove, deliberately winding through the trees, pausing for a time in an effort to shake Pippa from her trail. Beneath a dripping branch, Celine took a deep breath, filling her head with the sweet scent of citrus as it mingled with the metal and moss of an early spring shower, entreated her spirit to grant her the fortitude necessary to do what must be done. The street lay empty through the iron gate, a few short steps and a world away. In a moment, she would disappear and never turn back. It didn't matter where she went. It only mattered that she vanish without a trace, that no one else perish because of her.
Celine!
She heard Pippa shout from the opposite side of the lemon grove. That was her best chance. Celine darted from the shade of the tree, making her way toward the gate and the lonely freedom of a misty street. A tall man stepped into her path, his tweed cap pulled low on his brow.
Celine, he said calmly,
his eyes like chips of ice. Celine stumbled mid-step, her composure on the cusp of splintering.
Yes, Detective Grimaldi.
Where are you going?
I have been asked to leave the convent.
She attempted to skirt him, but he shifted once more, blocking her from reaching the gate. Anger lined Michael's features.
You've been asked to leave tonight?
His words sounded muffled to her, as if he were speaking into a void or at the end of a long tunnel. Desperation clutched around her heart.
Let me go, Michael, please.
Now is not the time for anyone to be walking the streets alone, least of all you.
It was a cool declaration, but it seared through Celine like a brand, reminding her of the many deaths on her conscience. One by her own hand.
Get out of my way, she said, her voice dangerously close to breaking.
No.
Celine shoved Michael with all her might. She didn't stop to watch him fall. She simply raced toward the gate, her feet flying above the pavestones, her heart pounding at a frantic pace. The memory of what Bastian had said to her the night they first met echoed through her ears. He'd likened her to a lunar goddess who dragged darkness with her wherever she went. She would bring no more darkness here. She had run away once to begin a new life. She could do it again, without a single glance over her shoulder. A firm hand yanked Celine off course, gripping her forearm tightly. Then it pulled her into a solid chest, clasping both her wrists behind her, forcing the air from her lungs. Michael towered over her, caging her with his arms, effectively rendering her immobile. He was stronger than he appeared at first glance, his body shifting beneath his wet garments like sinew.
You little fool,
he snarled under his breath, fury sharpening his features.
You think you're gonna run away and everything will be as it once was?
Celine glared up at him, drops of rain catching on her eyelashes.
Go to hell!
Will you make sense in hell? If so, then lead the way!
Sense? She cried. Tonight I was attacked by a creature that could fly. It taunted me, said I belonged to it, told me death was a garden and likened its work to the Battle of Carthage. Two nights ago, I was stalked by something that crawled up a wall and vanished in the wind without a trace.
Celine laughed, the sound bordering on crazed.
It knew my name. Tell me, Michael Grimaldi, does any of this make sense?
Michael's nostrils flared. He released her wrists,
a veil of lethal calm descending over his face.
Why am I only now hearing of the incident from 2 nights ago?
Am I to report to you at every turn?
Celine laughed again, pushed him away, her hands thrown in the air.
Besides, I sound like a lunatic. Like someone who lived in the dungeons of the Bastille for an age, deprived of sunlight and air and all that is necessary to survive.
Her chest heaved as she took in a ragged breath. His expression unreadable, Michael stared down at her, his pale gaze steady.
What happened when the creature stalked you 2 days ago? How did you manage to escape?
Bastion?
Bastion?
Michael's eyes narrowed, a muscle jumping in his neck.
Why was Bastion there?
I haven't the faintest clue. Perhaps you should stop behaving like a belligerent child and ask him. It's possible he has a death wish too.
Michael opened his mouth to retort, but the clatter of an arriving carriage stole his attention, sparing Celine from having to partake further in the conversation. A glossy black brougham halted just outside the iron gates of the convent. Emblazoned on its door was the symbol of a fleur-de-lis in the mouth of a roaring lion. For a stutter of time, Celine allowed herself to hope a broad-shouldered young man would alight from its confines, his eyes like honed daggers and his jaw like hewn stone. Dared to dream he would gift her this enchanted carriage, capable of taking her to the ends of the earth, tell her to go any place she wished, swore to follow wherever she went, even to hell itself. Ridiculous. A man should not have to grant her this kind of freedom. Celine should be able to take it herself. But she'd already tried to take it. Tried and failed numerous times. The world reminding her at all turns that her own liberty wasn't hers to give, much less take. A woman absent money or prospects had no place in proper society. In such a society, a wife and daughter were legal possessions, commodities used to curry wealth and favor. Perhaps it was time for Celine to reject proper society. As if to underscore the notion, the door to the brougham swung open and Odette bounded down its steps, dressed in trousers and polished hessians, a military-style jacket draped across her shoulders. She raced toward Celine's side, brushing past Michael with a look that would scald the sun. "Mon ami," Odette said, her expression grave, her eyes reddened around the rims. Celine steeled herself, her shoulders all but quaking with gratitude. The fairy tales of her childhood had been filled with lies. No man had come to her rescue tonight, as they always did in the stories. But her friends had. First Pippa with her épée, then Odette with her carriage. And just a moment ago, Celine had almost turned her back on them forever. Before Celine could say anything, Michael glared down at Odette, his colorless eyes seeming as if they could pierce her through her heart.
"Miss Valmont," he said curtly.
"Word certainly does travel fast, rousing even the most ardent of sleepers."
"None of your nonsense tonight,"
Odette glowered back at him, stone-faced. "My patience for mediocre young men has fallen dangerously low." She looked to Celine, her features softening. "I came as soon as I heard," her gloved hands wrapped around Celine's fingers. "What is it you wish to do? I'll take you anywhere you want to go."
Michael cleared his throat. "An unnecessary offer. I will arrange a place for Celine at police headquarters. It's well insulated from potential intruders, and officers will be stationed nearby at all times."
He stood tall, water dribbling from the brim of his tweed cap.
"I, myself, will patrol the streets around it twice a night. So there was no need for this dramatic display of concern. Return to your gilded abode, Miss Valmont. Leave the real work to those accustomed to doing it."
Odette sniffed, the sound filled with derision.
Don't be proud of that rejoinder, you sanctimonious prick. It's work enough having to look upon you with a straight face.
Her sable eyes tapered to slits. And perhaps we should let Celine make her own decisions, rather than informing her of yours as you seem so keen to do. She turned to Celine. Mon ami, we can go wherever you like. Charleston or Atlanta. New York, if you prefer. Perhaps even San Francisco. And if you wish to stay in New Orleans, I can have a suite ready for you at the Domain within the hour.
Celine nodded, her thoughts racing in a whirl. She could go wherever she chose. Flee this place and all its mounting terrors.
Her eyes closed as she allowed herself to dream of a new life. A slate wiped clean once more. Footsteps splashed through a nearby puddle, drawing to a sudden halt, the sound of frightened gasps punching through the darkness. Celine opened her eyes, locking on a single image. Pippa. The color drained from her skin, her lips trembling, her features awash in unmistakable relief. Her hem was 6 inches deep in mud, and a branch had scratched the side of her left cheek, tiny trickles of blood sliding toward her chin. This entire time, Pippa had been searching for Celine. Her concern for her friend causing her to be heedless of all else, even her own well-being. If Celine ran away now, the killer might never be caught. He would likely continue wreaking havoc on the world she'd left behind. Perhaps she wouldn't have to witness it with her own eyes anymore, or be terrorized by its possibility. But she would always know. Would always wonder. And her friends would remain in danger. Rage is a moment. Regret is forever. Celine had enough regrets on her head. Running away like a victim would not be one of them ever again. She was not a victim. She was a survivor. I want to stay in New Orleans, Celine said. But I have one condition. The Haunted Portrait. An hour later, Celine, Michael, and Odette stood in a corner of darkly veined marble, ensconced in the farthest reaches of a deserted hotel lobby. Above them, crystal and brass chandeliers hung like silent sentinels, chiming softly in a ghostly breeze. Lanterns housed in spheres of opaque glass glowed around the room, resembling will-o'-the-wisps floating through the night. Purple orchids and white jasmine perfumed the air, the scent hinting of wealth and far-flung locales. Positioned at either end of the entrance hall were large chinoiserie vases overflowing with long-stemmed roses so deep a shade of red, their petals appeared black in the shadows. Ursaline's exhaustion not an anchor about her shoulders. She would have whiled away a moment marveling at the grandeur of the space. Everything about it felt like it had been decorated to suit a queen of darkness.
"We've waited long enough, mon ami," Odette said, her voice scratched and weary. "Tell us your condition, s'il te plaît."
Michael stood a healthy distance from Odette, his long arms crossed, his dark curls mussed by the rain. Though his face was lined with distaste, his pale eyes blazed bright. In a barely audible whisper, Celine informed them of her plan. Once she was finished, they stared at her in stunned silence, Odette blinking rapidly, as if her mind intended to flash through every possible outcome in the span of a single breath.
"Over my dead body," Michael announced in a flat tone.
"Here's hoping, mon cher," Odette quipped.
She turned toward Celine, her sable gaze uncertain.
"But I must agree with the boar's sentiment. Using yourself as bait to catch a crazed killer sounds unduly foolish."
Michael sniffed with unmistakable scorn.
"Finally, a semblance of sense." He nodded at Odette,
who offered him a mocking bow in return. I knew you would not agree at first, Celine replied. But by tomorrow, I hope you will see the logic of it. How it makes sense for us to take action rather than be forced into a corner.
Logic? Odette snorted. It's madness, mon ami. Sheer madness. I finally understand why you lied to Pippa before we left the convent. You must have known she would never accept this as an option.
Pippa is... Celine exhaled with great care. I don't want Pippa anywhere near me. At least not until this ordeal is over. She's not selfish enough to worry about her own safety. The image of Pippa trembling in a puddle, her eyes shining in streams of blood trickling down her cheek, was one Celine would not soon forget.
Failing to worry about one's own safety isn't selfless, it's foolish.
Odette quirked a brow, her lips puckering in judgment. Celine nodded. I agree, but I don't have the patience to argue with Pippa about it. It isn't my place to dissuade her, and I'd rather be the hunter than the prey, wouldn't you?
A contemplative look settled on Odette's face, at the same time a frown tugged at the corners of Michael's mouth.
Then I have your support, Celine asked Odette.
Inhaling slowly, Odette nodded.
Though I'm certain I'll live to regret this.
You won't, Celine said, infusing her voice with a surety she did not feel.
Thank you, Odette. With that, she shifted her attention toward Michael. His displeasure deepened at her scrutiny.
I have no intention of agreeing to this plan, so spare yourself the effort, he said,
his words characteristically curt, unfeeling.
It was folly to come here, for both of us.
Michael pivoted in place and began walking toward the double doors at the hotel's entrance.
I'll send for your things in the morning, then make my way to the domain shortly afterward to collect you,
he said over his shoulder. A crick in Celine's neck sent a surge of discomfort down her spine. She tilted her head, wincing all the while.
It's unfortunate you aren't willing to listen to reason, Michael, she called out after him. But until you agree to help me, I plan to remain here at the Hotel Domain.
He spun around, anger sparking across his features. In a few long strides, he stood before her once more.
A foolish choice, especially when I've already arranged a place for you with full police protection.
It isn't foolish at all, Celine argued. If you won't respect my wishes, I see no reason to bend to your will. Besides that, no place in this city is safe if the killer is watching me as I believe him to be.
A shiver chased over her skin, but Celine kept her gaze steady. His thick brows tufted together.
It isn't about respecting your wishes, it's about what's best for you. What will keep you the safest?
Irritation simmered at the edges of Celine's vision.
Then the New Orleans Metropolitan Police will only protect me if I do exactly as Detective Michael Grimaldi says.
Michael said nothing in response. Soft laughter resonated from Odette.
Celine sighed.
For whatever reason, this thing has singled me out. We can either run from that fact or use it to our advantage.
She took a deep breath.
I'm not a fool. I'm aware of the danger, and I promise I'm appropriately afraid. I just refuse to be a victim for a single second more.
A muscle twitched beneath her left eye. Celine rubbed the skin there and found another fleck of dried blood smeared across her fingertips, the smell thick and metallic. Her stomach churned at the sight.
I only wish we knew what this thing was so that we might determine how best to destroy it.
Don't believe every myth you hear. If there are no gods among us, there can be no demons,
Michael said, his voice leached of all emotion.
The same logic you've already employed indicates the killer must be a man. Most killers with multiple victims are.
It's not simply a man. Celine shook her head. It's something else.
Something inhuman.
If it lives and breathes, it can be killed like any living and breathing creature.
Exhaustion burrowed deep into Celine's bones.
The strength to keep arguing with the intractable Michael Grimaldi was leaving her with each passing breath. Her fingers and toes had lost all sense of feeling. Soon it would be difficult to stand straight. Even still, Celine did not miss the fact that Odette had failed to counter Michael's recent assertions. Nor could Celine overlook the thoughtful slant of Odette's brunette head. Odette Valmont possessed information of value and was doing her level best to keep it from them. Here was proof of something Celine had long suspected. The members of Le Coeur de Lion did have an inkling of what or who this demon might be. Why they chose to keep it among themselves remained a mystery. It could be because the murderer resided in their midst and they wished to protect his identity. But their recent behavior did not follow this reasoning. In the last few days, Odette had become more than a mere acquaintance to Celine, and Bastien had gone out of his way to ensure her safety the other night. He'd even threatened to destroy the creature in a wholly remorseless manner. Why would they go to such trouble to protect her if their loyalty lay with the killer? Unless this was all part of their plan. An elaborate ruse to establish their innocence. If that was true, Celine had already lost the battle. Only moments ago she had divulged her plan in its entirety to Odette. If Odette betrayed her, all her efforts would be for naught. Celine's shoulders sagged. She was tired of speculating. She needed the truth. And Celine knew who to ask, though she dreaded his answer. The lie he would offer in place of what she desired. Nevertheless, Celine planned to speak to Bastien tomorrow. She'd demand he share with her everything he knew. No more lies. No more masks. It was time for them to cast aside their facades and bear all. Bastien no longer had a choice. If he refused to be forthcoming, Celine would tell Michael about the yellow ribbon and allow judgment to rain down upon them all. "Give up on this cockamamie plan," Michael said to Celine, tearing her from her inner turmoil, his countenance grave. "Because I will never agree to using you as bait." Celine scowled, desperately wishing she could throttle Michael, just a little. "I have no intention of giving up anything. Surely you, of all people, must understand that." She reached for his hand in a weak attempt to channel sugar instead of spice. "Please, Michael, don't be so stubborn. I urge you to reconsider." He blinked twice at her touch, a vein jumping in his neck.
"I won't reconsider. But I will promise to do everything I can to keep you safe."
The last was said in a fervent tone, his words jagged, his grasp rough. Celine didn't think Michael was aware of how he'd wrapped her cold hand in both of his, clutching her fingers with an odd kind of desperation. No matter what he said or how he said it, Michael's intensity always betrayed him. He cared for her, and that knowledge troubled Celine all the more. For a moment, she considered taking advantage of it. If she begged him, perhaps he would relent. If she cried prettily or raged in just the right fashion, perhaps she could do what she had failed to do before and overcome his mulishness. But she didn't want to play the role of the coy demoiselle. Not like this. It was never a role that had suited her well anyway, as evinced by their earlier interactions. Celine needed to be cold and calculating. If Michael refused to help her, the plan wouldn't work. That simply was not an option. Her life, and the lives of those around her, depended on them all working together in concert. "I don't need you to help me," Celine lied, her words callous, channeling Michael at his best.
I'll simply ask Bastion instead.
She extricated her fingers from his grasp. Dismay rippled across his face, there and gone in a flash. The next instant, Michael smiled coolly.
Ask him.
His smile turned punishing.
I have no doubt what his answer will be.
Mon cher, you don't know him as well as you think you do.
Odette's retort was pointed.
That's the thing about beautiful fiends like Sébastien Saint-Germain. They always do what you least expect them to do.
She brushed a speck of non-existent dust from his shoulder.
And in the end, they always wear the crown.
Celine could not have scripted a more perfect response. It was a loaded weapon, cocked and aimed at Michael's chest. Sometimes it was necessary to be as cunning as a fox, even if it also meant being cruel. Michael narrowed his gaze. His nostrils flared.
The Court of the Lions does not rule this roost, Miss Valmont. I will see this city burn to the ground before I cede control of my investigation to a band of lawless beasts.
With that, he whirled toward the entrance, taking his leave, the very air around him seething. It didn't matter. Celine had planted the seed. Odette had watered it. Now they had only to watch it grow. If Celine had learned anything in the last few days, she had learned that Detective Michael Grimaldi was not the type of young man to allow his enemy to best him. In any way. She was counting on it.
Connard,
Odette cursed under her breath, as Michael disappeared from view. The veined marble around Celine started to sway, the will-o'-the-wisps blurring in the background.
It can't look too obvious, she said to Odette, blinking hard. Then we'll need to finesse the details.
She wound her fingers in her damp skirt and squeezed the ruined fabric in an effort to keep herself alert. If you count the first murder of the young woman on the docks, the killer has taken one life a week since my arrival, she babbled. Following this pattern, the next murder is likely to take place in the coming week, which should give us a few days to set our trap. Her head started to list forward. Perhaps we should plan it for the night of the masquerade ball itself, she thought aloud, just as the polished floor rushed toward her face.
Ah, putain!
Odette cried out, catching Celine the moment before she struck the cold stone.
You're falling to pieces before my very eyes!
She threaded one arm through Celine's and wrapped the other around her shoulders, then began leading them down a darkened corridor. Celine braced herself against Odette, her eyes struggling to stay open.
Thank you. Her words were hoarse. For everything.
She gripped her friend's gloved hand tightly.
You're welcome, my brave little doe. But if you want your cockamamie plan to work, honestly, who uses such a word? You'll need to be more than brave. You'll need to be ruthless.
After tonight, I trust this won't be an issue. It's not every day one meets a girl who's stabbed a demon with sewing shears.
To have seen that.
Odette's laughter was rueful, the sound chiming like bells.
Also, I find it fascinating how talkative you are after bearing witness to a shocking event. Most people I know are struck silent by such things. You're unusual at all turns, Celine Rousseau.
She grinned appreciatively. Even through her haze of exhaustion, Celine smiled. Her thoughts sobered in the next instant.
Why do they hate each other so much? She murmured. Who hates whom, mon ami?
I know nothing but love.
Oh, please.
Celine nudged her elbow into Odette's ribs.
I'm too exhausted to play these games. It's a struggle putting one foot in front of the other.
Why do you think they hate each other?
How should I know?
Hazard a guess. It's an age-old tale.
Because of a girl?
Celine's eye twitched once more,
her nose wiggling in response.
Correct.
Oh. Her shoulders fell. Perhaps this was the young woman who possessed the right pedigree. Celine exhaled slowly. Such things shouldn't matter to her. Not anymore. They turned a corner, their steps light over the honed marble. Celine could almost swear Odette bore the whole of their shared weight, as if she possessed the strength of an Amazon.
Was she impressive?
Celine's voice sounded small, tinny, fitting for such a question.
Very,
Odette replied, at ease despite her burden.
She sang like a lark and danced in the light of the sun.
She added in Celine's ear.
But don't worry. She wasn't as beautiful as you.
Celine snorted, then tripped over herself like she'd imbibed too much champagne. As inelegant as a swine in the mud, she crumpled to the floor. A foul curse flew from Odette's lips. She repeated the word in two more languages for good measure. Tugging Celine to her feet, Odette proceeded to drag her the rest of the way. They halted before an immense lift of gleaming brass, its bars fashioned of winding vines and birds of paradise, their feathers inlaid with Persian turquoise.
You shouldn't have, Celine muttered. A cage of my very own.
Odette snickered. She gestured to the right, and an inordinately tall man with rich auburn hair secured at the nape of his neck and a frock coat of midnight blue with matching gloves stepped forward to unfetter a gleaming lock of pure silver. Though he was as lithe as a dancer, he managed to heave open the sliding door to the brass lift with barely a twinge of effort. Once they were situated inside, Celine rested her head on Odette's shoulder, her eyes falling shut as the lift lurched into motion under the steady direction of its lissome gatekeeper.
The list of those allowed access here is short, Odette said. This lift has one destination, the top floor of the hotel. While you reside at the domain, that entire space will be yours alone.
Celine considered this, even as the weariness fell upon her like a warm woolen blanket.
And if the killer can scale the walls of the hotel?
She recalled how the demon had scuttled up the building before vanishing into the wind.
Can he also shatter iron bars and locks of solid silver?
For the sake of argument, let's assume so.
Then day for two,
Odette swore under her breath.
As are we all.
Celine laughed softly, her eyes still closed.
Merci, Odette.
Pas de tout, mon ami,
Odette replied.
We take care of our own.
Celine's breath caught in her throat.
Is that thing one of your own?
She asked, her tone halting. Odette said nothing until the lift began to slow.
No,
but her hesitation suggested otherwise.
You know what it is.
Celine's eyes flew open.
Why won't you tell me?
It isn't my story to tell.
Please.
The lift ground to a halt, and the slender gentleman in the blue velvet frock coat unlatched the door in a seamless motion, his gaze one of supreme ennui.
No more questions,
Odette said, smoothing back Celine's disheveled curls in a soothing gesture. Then she locked eyes with Celine, refusing to blink as if she were in a trance.
I'm going to show you to your room, and you're going to sleep through an entire night, as if you're adrift among the clouds.
A sad smile curved up her doll-like face.
The only dreams you'll have will be pleasant ones, filled with islands of floating meringue and sparkling glasses of champagne.
Her voice sounded layered, weighted. It resonated through Celine, reaching through to the marrow of her bones. The last thing she remembered was the rumble of a brass cage, of the bird within, flying free. Celine woke with a start, her heart hammering in her chest.
Disorientation gripped her, her vision struggling to find focus. Her eyes darted to all corners, searching for something familiar, fighting for a semblance of footing. She had no recollection of this place. Then, like a wave crashing upon a shore, all the events of last night flooded through her mind. She was enshrined in the top-floor suite of the finest hotel in the city. A brass lift, festooned with gilded birds, had borne her to this place. Before she had taken her leave, Odette had made certain Celine was comfortable, warm and well cared for. Tomorrow, they would begin devising a trap to catch a killer. This last thought caused Celine to sit up at once, her breath lodged in her throat, the ache in her head throbbing dully. She looked around, her gaze moving about the space once more, this time with measured deliberation.